and friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
This is My Perfect Romance.
Yes, and I just had the best stretch of the life.
I know, you missed the cue that we were on.
I know, when you get that, like, you start to yawn, and then all of a sudden your whole body, like, arches, and you can't stop yourself?
Oh, yeah, what is that? I feel like I have to yawn.
My sister-in-law stretch. Oh. My sister-in-law told me it's called pandiculation. So it's like a thing.
Pandiculation.
What does that mean?
Just like if somebody
I'd have to look up the exact definition, but it's like that automatic, like, stretch response that kicks in and you can't stop it.
Yeah. like a yawn too.
Yeah. I don't know, but when it kicks in, you can't stop it. It feels so good.
It does feel good.
So I feel good. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yes, this is I'm Courtney.
I'm Lisa. Valerie is not here today.
She had some stuff going on.
Yeah.
So we'll miss her, but.
No, I hope she liked the book. It was a good book.
It was a good book. I liked it.
We read this book because I remember we were picking out books we wanted to read. This is, you know, January. It's a new year. Like, this was kind of themed around New Year's Eve. Like, that's when this book takes place. But I think the real reason we wanted to read this one, if I remember right, was that you were like, oh my gosh, this is like a romance that's taking place outside of that, like, early 20s age. Like, they're adults now falling in love. Because there's not a lot of romances that are set on people past their college or young adults years falling in love. So that's what I was like, oh, we're in for a different kind of treat. We'll see what it's like later in life.
Yeah, but it's kind of like. They're in their 30s. early thirties, but it's a story about them in present and in past.
Yeah, there's a lot of flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and those flashbacks, lo and behold, go back to the college years.
Yeah, and they're they parallel each other, so they're in their college. 4 years of college, they're in their, they're like 18, 19, 20, 21. And then 10 years later, they're
coming back to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's set in the scene. So what's this, the synopsis or the summary of this book?
So it's The Rewind by Allison Wynn Scott. I don't have my glasses.
Oh, this happens every time.
Shoot. You're like, I get.
Where are your glasses?
God.
Right now, it's like she's named.
So we've talked about this on the podcast. I had my bunion on my right foot removed back in April, but now I have my left foot done. So now, I have my foot up. I can't walk on.
I have no idea where your glasses are.
Okay, well, can you
want me to try it?
Yeah, you try it.
Okay, here we go. Oh, gosh, not much better. Two exes wake up together with wedding bands on their fingers and no idea how they got there. They have just one New Year's Eve at the end of 1999 to figure it out in this big-hearted and nostalgic rom-com from New York Times best-selling author Allison Winscotch. Oh, so that's like the hook. This is your catch.
Okay.
So, whoa. Okay, I can handle reading two paragraphs.
Whoa, that's a lot of reading.
When college sweethearts Frankie and Ezra broke up before graduation, they vowed to never speak to each other again. 10 years later, on the eve of the new millennium, they find themselves back on their snowy, picturesque New England campus together for the first time for the wedding of a mutual friend. Frankie's on the rise as a music manager for the hottest bands of the late 90s, and Ezra's ready to propose to his girlfriend after the wedding. everything is going to plan. I don't like that. Okay, everything is going as planned. Sorry. They just have to avoid the chasm of emotions brought up when they inevitably come face to face. But when they wake up in bed next to each other the following morning with Ezra's grandmother's diamond on Frankie's finger, they have zero memory of how they got there or about any of the events that transpired the night before. Now Frankie and Ezra have to put aside old grievances in order to figure out what happened, what didn't happen, and to ask themselves the most troubling question of all. What if they both got it wrong the first time around?
Yeah, that's a good synopsis.
Yeah. It summarized it pretty well. Mm-hmm. And it kind of is a trip down memory lane. That's what this book is for.
Yes.
Frankie and Ezra.
The story's parallel.
Yeah.
So they are going
it kicks
back.
Off.
To...
They're in bed together.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they go back to their college.
Yeah.
Because two of their college friends are getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And, Ezra and Frankie haven't seen each other for 10 years.
Or spoken. They really like kept that vow of like, mm-hmm. I hate this other person.
Yeah.
And they walk into this like, I hate this other person.
Yes. Yeah. And you sense that as you're,
oh yeah,
you start reading the book.
And the whole novel, you're like, how does this, like, how did they turn from like love to hate? That was a mm-hmm. big question that I wanted answered. Mm-hmm. The thing that drove the plot though was, did we or didn't we get married? I didn't really care about that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know, like, what happened?
Yeah,
why
did their, well, they, in college, they become very good friends. They,
yeah.
Okay, so they're at college, their old college with their friends from college.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they're a little tight-knit group of friends from mm-hmm. college. There's April and Connor who are actually getting married. That's who they're the wedding they're going to.
I'm glad you wrote this down. I don't remember all those other people's names.
And then Gregory and Ezra and Frankie are like the little group. And you get the sense it's told from both Frankie and Ezra's perspectives, but they are a little hesitant about seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
They are because they ended things so horribly 10 years previous.
And there's probably how many people, like 40 to 50 people that are at this wedding party event?
Yeah, I guess.
The day before New Year's Eve.
Yes.
They're kicking off at the college campus.
Mm-hmm. And part of the night before the, what is it?
I don't know, 20. I can remember there were 20 people involved because they had this drawing. They'd mm-hmm. pick your name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there must've been 40 because you'd pick a name and then you'd pick the next person's name. And then there were 20 pairs to go on the scavenger hunt.
Yeah. Cause they do the dinner before mm-hmm. They do the wedding rehearsal dinner and then they do the scavenger hunt.
Yes.
And everyone pairs off. They have to pick a name in a hat. And of course, Frankie and Ezra become partners.
And this wouldn't be a story if that hadn't happened.
No.
Right? Had to happen.
Yeah. And you get you hear that Ezra, he's taking shots off of Gregory's moonshine.
And who knows?
And pops
moonshine.
And pops like a Xanax or something. So we know
he's a really
that looks
anxious
like.
Person.
Mm-hmm.
That's his kind of personality or his downfall, I think, is what they try to make him out.
Yes.
He's like a super hypervigilant, anxious mm-hmm. person that just can't handle a lot of change or
yeah.
unpredictability.
And then the next thing you know,
yeah,
they wake up in Ezra's old dorm room with rings on their fingers.
Yeah.
And they don't know.
How did it happen?
From going from not talking and not wanting to talk or see each other to being in bed and probably having had sex.
Maybe, maybe not. They don't know.
They don't know, but they have.
They don't know if they got
Frankie,
married.
Yeah. Frankie has. Ezra's grandmother's ring on,
yeah.
which he brought because he planned to propose to his current girlfriend, Mimi.
Who was supposed to be there, but her flight, she said her flight got delayed and she couldn't get there.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't there.
No.
To block this budding romance from happening. Right.
And so, I mean, I think it's so funny, the idea of waking up and having no idea of what happened the night before. Because, and it's confusing, they don't have their phones, they don't, like, Frankie has a huge,
goose egg.
Yeah, and it's like,
on the back
yeah, it's bloody, and she's like, how did I get this? She thinks she realizes she's concussed. And then the girl who...
It's her dorm room.
It's her dorm room. She walks in and takes her mace and sprays Ezra,
who happened to be just the closest one.
Yes. So Frankie has this huge bloody bump on the back of her head. Her head is killing her, and Ezra's face is just...
I have never seen anyone get sprayed.
I haven't either. I don't know exactly what that would look like.
No.
But it sounds like his eyes were... swollen, almost shut.
I would imagine. Because I think the stuff that's in mace or pepper spray, you know, it's that. Have you ever been like cutting jalapenos for as a real spicy pepper and you get the seed or whatever that capsaicin, I think is what it is, on your fingers and then inadvertently like touched your eye? And then like the searing pain.
Yeah.
That is what it would be like.
Yes. And
times
Ben makes this 100. Hot sauce from peppers. Like he boils them down.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. And then when you're in.
What kind of peppers does he use?
I don't know. It's like they're like dried hot peppers. I don't know what he does. So he boils them down. And when you're in the kitchen, when he's doing that, every time you take a breath, you're like, oh,
you get that weird in your lungs,
and you can't like get it out. So it's probably like that for your lungs as well.
That was me eating my spicy beef teriyaki, like ramen bullshit yesterday for lunch. Like it was so spicy that like my throat wanted to close up on it. It's like, I can't do space. Anyway.
So poor Ezra.
He's dealing with this awful, uncomfortable, swollen, can't see.
No.
Because his eyes are swollen shut. And she's like confused and concussed and she doesn't know how or why. And he's also hungover because he'd been drinking moonshine the night before.
Yeah, along with the Prozac or Xanax or whatever he took.
It was Xanax because I was like, did Xanax exist back then? I looked it up. I'm such a skeptic that I'm like, this is bullshit. Yes, Xanax was around since the 80s. And then I was like, bullshit. People didn't have phones back then. They did.
Yeah, yeah.
1999. I mean, I didn't have a phone back then. It was flip phones, and that was
they
it.
There were, was no such thing as like... They weren't like the phones we have today. No, they're not
totally
smartphones.
Totally different. The kind of... If texting existed, I don't know that it exists yet. It was painful. It was like, if you wanted to say hi, it's
no,
like...
No, I feel like
you tap five multiple times, and then...
That was... I don't know. I don't feel like there was texting.
I don't think there was texting yet.
It was just the phone.
Yeah.
And at this, in 1999, people had landlines. We were talking about this. Landlines and phones.
Yes.
And cell phones.
Yeah. So, and there were still pay phones.
Yeah.
Which I was walking along the streets of Seattle and I saw a pay phone. And I was just blown away. I'm like, I haven't seen one of these in 20 years. Wow. Different time for sure. 1999. I was still in high school.
Oh,
I was about to graduate.
That's right. You're a youngster.
I'm a little baby.
But I was in 99. I was getting married in 99.
You got married in 99?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, that was not even a thought on my radar.
Yeah, 1990.
But I will tell you this. In 1999, the idea of marriage, because I think I was 18. Mm-hmm. I don't, yeah, that's right. I was 18. Mm-hmm. And I, being raised in Utah and in that religion, was taught to believe like that was the end of days. Did you?
It was scary because we were thinking, what happens when it goes from 1999
to
2000? Are computers going to even understand what that looks like?
That was the global thing. But because I was religious at that time, I thought, like, this was, what do they call it when, it's been a long time. When, like,
second coming?
Yes, that's the word. Like, I don't remember anymore. It's too long.
This is the second coming. All evil people will be,
like, they were just going to disappear off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And then it was going to be like just the good ones like me.
Wouldn't that be great?
I don't know. I kind of like a little spice.
I do, but there's so many evil people that they really could leave and make a better place.
So there's a handful.
I mean, spicy people can stay.
Yeah.
But just evil people should go away. Some religion thinks spicy people are bad, but spicy people are not bad.
No.
Like, if you drink a little bit, you know, if you...
But that's not what where my head was at the time. And I just remember thinking, okay, I'm going to never have a chance to get married. I'll never get to have kids. Like, the world is over.
Oh, gosh.
It was a horrible feeling. I know.
So what happened when you woke up the next day? You're like, oh,
I said, this is bullshit. That was probably the first time I'm like, really? Are these stories you're telling me, like, have any sense of
that?
Oh,
that was the beginning of the questioning.
Maybe. That might have been a little bit of that. Because I was like, that was just grilled into me so much. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole mind fucking that they do. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah.
It's funny, we were in Logan together at that time.
Yeah, you were there too.
I was there too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We got our first house there.
Yeah.
And I was working at Arcana. Do you remember that salon?
No, because remember, like, I was, mom cut my hair.
Oh, yeah, but it was kind of in that, like, Arcana was more on that. And what end of Logan that you do live in? The North End. Like now Fred Meyer is like kind of across the street.
Oh, okay.
Like I was just over there
at Fred Meyer. That's where my job was.
Wow.
Pushing carts and those customers. So,
yeah.
Good times. But I am so glad that the world didn't come to an end because I like being here.
Yeah.
Kind of great.
Well, you would have been here because you were a nice person, so. You
would have been. I don't know. It depends on what your perspective, you know. There's a lot of people who are like, you have horns? I'm like, no.
Yeah, I remember that was such a worry for so many people.
It was. Mm-hmm. And a lot, I think for most people, it's like our computer system is going to crash. And we were, at that point in time, already so reliant on it, like for shipping. And inventory and all sorts of different things just for commerce and life. Cause we don't grow our own food.
Yeah.
we rely heavily on other people doing that for us. But I mean, it's nothing like it is now.
It doesn't seem like in the story though, that they were that concerned about. I mean, they're
no, not at all.
A little bit, but not
at all.
No.
They wanted a party like it's 1999.
Yes.
And they did.
They did. And so Ezra and Frankie, through the rest of the story, they are trying to figure out exactly what happened the night before. And in the process of doing that, they're also remembering their life, you know, 10 years previous.
Certain places they go trigger certain, like, big events for them.
Yeah.
And they take it through Ezra's perspective and then Frankie's perspective. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of get a better understanding, which eventually leads up to why they broke up.
Yeah.
And while still trying to answer the question, did we get married or not, so I can propose to my girlfriend?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the whole premise.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a, well, the wedding is that night. So they have all day to kind of figure this out.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a mess anyway. Yeah. Like,
or at least till three when they have to get pictures and all that. Mm-hmm. But so they start out, I mean, probably like 5 or 6 hours to figure it out
mm-hmm.
during the daytime.
Yeah. So, you know,
I liked how, so it takes them, I think it works with flashbacks kind of somewhat in a linear pattern, and you get a better perspective of what kind of boyfriend Ezra is and what kind of girlfriend Frankie is and how they treated each other back when they were dating. And I think like how they met was super sweet. Like
I wrote it down. It was cute. Frankie and Ezra, they go to a bar. I think they're at a bar.
Yeah.
Like a lemon. What is the lemon drop? The lemon drop, which is like the bar on camp next to campus that everyone goes to. And Ezra tells Frankie that, he's dating somebody or something. And he's like kind
of just broken up.
Bethany, I think. Yeah.
They'd just broken up.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't get it. Like, I'm a good boyfriend.
Yeah.
Why would she stick around?
Yeah. She says something to him and actually he is instantly friends, you know, cause he says, you know, she's an easy person to talk to, the easiest person he's ever met. And she made him feel like he could tell her all his secrets, and she was flattered because no boy had ever said that to her before.
I think no person had ever said that because she was pretty closed off in some regards.
And she feels the same way about him. He's easy to talk to and someone she needed to know, someone that made her feel like herself. That's just how they're friendships are. They started out as really good friends. And then I think they're friends for like a year or two.
When a relationship starts out that way and you take the hormonal part out of it, I think like that says, wow, there could be a lot of longevity. So I thought it was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
How like caring and interested they were in each other before anything else. And I was like,
you are such good friends and care so much about each other. I mean, you're best friends and they know little things about each other. In present day, Ezra has a little panic attack and Frankie knows exactly how to help him deal with it. And so she goes right into action. She's like, okay, count from 1 to 10, take deep breaths. And she helps him through that. And they're kind of struggling present time because you don't know exactly what happened, but something big happened to break them apart. But the chemistry is still there. They still have that familiarity with each other that they kind of can't get over. So they keep getting drawn to each other. They keep talking about how, like, they kind of want to, like, feel comfortable touching each other, but they can't. You know,
it's we hate each other. Remember, we hate each other. We don't want anything to do with each other. And I'm going to get married, and I've got this almost fiance.
So I can't fall into that again. So they're in their own minds. They're working through their past issues plus their present issues.
So I just think that once you have, I can't even remember, and this was advice coming from somebody that was years older than me, like a lot older, because, you know, I love listening to the advice of people that I work with that have life experience.
Yeah.
And she said that, like, every time you have that kind of a deep connection with a person, it doesn't really truly go away. Like, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you give a piece of yourself permanently and you might take a piece of another person permanently and they're always going to be with you. And I think it's impossible in this situation for those two who like deeply cared about each other to just like truly ever really walk away. And I think that's kind of the crux of life. Cause I think a lot of people you know, that happens more than once too in life. And it's like, how do you find yourself and stay true to the people with you right now?
Yeah.
And well, that's kind of what.
And don't you think too, there, it help, it forces them to almost work through some of, like, I don't think that they've ever really looked at themselves or worked through some of their issues with themselves or with the other person, but being together again and feeling that connection, it almost forces them to reevaluate who they were, who they become. Have they made changes in their lives? Mm-hmm. What kind of person are they now? What did happen? Could they have changed how they reacted to certain things in their past for a different outcome, you know, in the future? And I think I love that piece of it too, that they were willing to work through, look at themselves and actually,
or each other too.
Yeah. Each other too. And kind of almost make changes in that like 24 hour period of time
with what was going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, letting go of certain issues.
Yeah.
Accepting the other person for who they are. And actually, like, I didn't like this about you, but I value it now.
And do you think, so here's the difference between dating someone in your early 20s versus dating someone in your 30s.
Yeah.
Because that critical thinking is being developed in your early 20s.
Yeah.
The ability to think outside of yourself or to think critically and be able to adjust. And it's a frontal cortex thing. Mm-hmm. And that's not developed until you're 25.
Yeah.
I mean, or they're even saying later now. So it's like, oh crap. And it's interesting because so many of these books, it's like, that's the time you're supposed to fall in love. Like that's what they're all centered around is falling in love in your early 20s. And it's like, is that the best idea?
Because you haven't, yeah, you're not all there.
You're just a big ball of hormones.
Well, and I think there's a very selfish part of being in your 20s, too. You're very self-centered and self-focused because you're still working on yourself. And where do you want to go? And where do you want to be? I mean, certain things, obviously, like you have to make changes for certain things. Like if you suddenly have children,
and that's what happened with me. You know, early 20s, I was done having kids.
Yeah.
And it was like, I had to stop being selfish real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to stop being selfish real quick, but it was like, oh, I have to take care of these very sweet, dependent people.
And your kids are very lucky that you just made that choice.
Well, I mean, you know, was it a choice? Oh, yeah. I'm lucky that I loved them. Or I do.
I'm lucky. I love those two, but no, I don't anymore. They're off on their own.
Oh, they're always going to be my babies. But yeah, it's a difficult time because on the one hand, you're like, for guys especially, like, isn't that their sexual prime? Their early 20s?
I think so.
Supposedly for women, it happens later on in life. But for men, it's like early 20s. So they're just, you know, that has a way of tricking us into thinking we're in love. Because once you trigger that release of oxytocin and that attachment that happens when you have sexy times, you know, it's like, it's really hard to use those other parts of your brain.
Yeah.
For anything else. And so it's a tricky time. To not fall in love. It's no wonder all these books are centered around that time.
Yeah, I loved that you just were telling me about what is the advice you gave Olivia?
I haven't given her this advice because
you were thinking about it.
My kids are at that age where they're like trying to figure out, and they're like they're hormonal. They're looking at, you know, whoever their love interest might be and think, oh, that looks like fun. Mm-hmm. But I think this is from choice theory. Dr. Glassman? I don't know. I'd have to look up this name. Choice theory. And he talks about how if you were to take away the hormonal aspect, the attraction aspect, and just eliminate that from your relationship with your other partner, would you still be friends?
Mm-hmm.
Would you genuinely be friends? And if you can say yes to that, then you have a really good chance of having a lifelong happy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But if your relationship is nothing but hormones and based on that, you're going to have a lot of things to work through.
Because
you are going to, yeah, it's been a good read.
And but, you know, going back to the book too, that Ezra and Frankie have that. They are mm-hmm. friends.
They were friends very before friends. They became lovers. Mm-hmm. But definitely once you cross that bridge to lovers, it changes that dynamic.
It does.
A little bit.
So yeah, it does.
It's like if you can establish yourself as friends first, that's all the more power to you. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to probably do a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, because you're not like, you are thinking more about, when you work through issues, you can talk to each other a little mm-hmm. more about and not get, I'm just thinking you're not going to get so emotionally, you know, there's a different,
you're not going to have a power dynamic.
Mm-mm.
You're going to actually like treat them the way you would a friend, like mm-hmm. with true, no need for controlling the other one, mm-hmm. just true, genuine caring and compassion
mm-hmm.
the way you would a friend.
Yeah.
And so often, like in spousal, parent-child, whatever relationship dynamic, like people try to take that control
yeah,
and get the other person to do what they want. Mm-hmm. Whereas you don't need to do that with your friends.
No.
Yeah. So be friends. Be friends first.
Be friends before your lovers.
Yes. That's what I took out of that. What I've read so far, that book. I like it too.
You know, the rewind at the end of the book has questions that we thought we would.
Yeah, we don't want to give away too much of like the plot, mm-hmm. and I mean, their trips down memory lane were great. You came to understand who these characters were a whole lot more. And I think maybe as we answer these questions, we can kind of talk a little bit about that. But I think I want people to read that and figure out like why two really close, good, caring people fell apart. Cause that's like kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
they couldn't work past a few things, pretty major things.
Yeah.
So read it. But, the first question is, Frankie and Ezra broke up a decade ago. Do you believe it is possible to forgive and forget? Do you believe in second chances? Forgive and forget. So
forgive
outside
forget.
Of Frankie and Ezra, in general, forgive and forget. I don't believe that you can ever forget. I'm like an elephant. Sorry.
I know.
Don't forget.
No.
But forgiveness, to me, forgiveness is one of the greatest acts of love.
Mm-hmm.
Of saying, I see you and your imperfections,
mm-hmm.
and I know I have them too, but I genuinely care about you, and I love you despite those imperfections mm-hmm. or mistakes or whatever that we all make.
Yes, because we're humans,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the way you learn is by making a mistake.
Yeah, there's no other way to do it.
So in a relationship, you could say, okay, I see that you made that mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can like forgive you. I'm not going to forget about it.
Mm-mm.
And you know, sometimes it's just like, maybe I'm going to give you a chance. You know, we'll work through this. Like as long as you don't keep repeating that mistake.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then it's, it's like, is this a mistake or is this just who you are?
Yeah.
And maybe I need to say, oh, okay, that is a character flaw, because we all have character flaws mm-hmm. too. But I can still love you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or look at, like, what created that character flaw?
Mm-hmm.
And because once you get to really know a person and all their flaws and what caused them, like, you can't help but love them, because, you know, we're all just trying to do our best.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if in their situation, I think where they weren't harming each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were they harming each other?
They weren't harming each other. I just think it was a lot of miscommunication. Mm-hmm. And maybe not being they weren't telling each other, they began not telling each other exactly how they were feeling.
Yeah, that's where things went south.
Yes, because then they were hiding certain aspects of their life from the other person.
But I think that they didn't understand themselves enough yet to even realize they were doing that.
I agree. And then that's how, like, years later, it's like aha moments.
Yeah, once they had a better perspective, that 20/20 vision we all get in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, no wonder I thought this way at that time.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't right.
Yeah.
Now that I know what I know now.
I should have treated that situation differently. Mm-hmm. I should have reacted differently.
Yeah.
And I think they do that. You know, they...
little bits here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the best things we can do is say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And genuinely mean it.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think that they care enough about each other that they can move past some of those old, and once again, maybe not forgetting it, but being able to forgive each other
and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yes, I do believe in second chances.
Me too.
Absolutely. yeah, for sure. There's nobody is ever condemned permanently. So question number two. Ezra thinks he is a perfect boyfriend because he doesn't challenge Mimi. So Mimi is Ezra's current love interest, and he wants to propose to her.
Yeah.
And his whole purpose is just to simply make life easier for her in all aspects. Do you think that this is a behavior of a perfect partner to make your life easier for you?
I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah.
I certainly, as a partner, you try your hardest to make life easy. You know, certain things. Mm-hmm. Like my foot's, I can't do much at home. Ben helps out, you know.
Yeah,
the boys help out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in that way, he's helping make my life easier.
Yeah. You show up for each other when you need it.
But does Ezra...
He does it?
It's almost like he's lying to himself.
How he does it. What ways does he make Mimi's life easier? I think...
He gives up certain things that he loves.
Yeah. Like, so there was an instance where they were meeting... She's trying to promote internet dating. It's this new up-and-coming thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they actually met, was through her internet dating, whatever forum. And he's also like a tech guy, like one of those initial tech guys, like programmed a thing and sold it, but he still has a hand in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some dinner meeting he needed to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember she was like, but this is more important. Like, you need to be here for me, because that's the whole point of this, you know, internet dating thing, is to show how well it's working for us.
Yeah.
And he kind of felt like he was a showboat.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave up his things to be her little showboat.
And it was like an important meeting.
It was an important meeting. And so he keeps giving himself away to try to make her happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's a way you're going to build a good, honest relationship and certainly like not resent the other person because mm-hmm. he's just not being honest with her either. And if that's just going to hurt everyone in the end. Mm-hmm. So yeah, naughty, Esra.
Yeah.
By being too nice, right? And no, being actually hurtful.
Yeah. And you learn that he gives up like, gambling. He loves to play cards. Mm. He loves to gamble. He's very good at it. And I mean, she has a valid reason. Like, I don't want you to gamble because I witnessed my uncle's demise from gambling. So I don't want you to gamble. But he's not that. I don't get that he's that type of a gambler. He wins all the time because he's figured it out. But he gives that up for her, yet she realized she doesn't give up her vices for him.
No, not at all. She does expect him to do everything that she wants, but never returns that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of didn't like Frankie when they were dating because when they're going back down their trip in memory lane, every single like big important event, it was Esra trying to make her moodiness better and try to help her feel better and get through this tough thing she's going through. When he was actually genuinely going through one of the most difficult things you could go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet he was supporting her and I didn't see her returning that. And so this was like, this was his modus operandi. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he said it, but you know what I mean? This is just how he works.
Yeah.
Because he's always trying to take care of other people.
Yeah.
And he, yeah, there's a balance for sure.
Yeah. I mean, well, because how happy can you be in a relationship if you're constantly giving and nobody's and you're not receiving anything? Like, or I mean, he gets things from her for sure, but he is giving up so much and not getting a lot of.
The only thing he's getting is everyone's perception of him being such a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to last long. You know what I mean? Eventually that facade will wear away.
And I think in relationships, it's okay to be a little selfish, you know, because if you're selfish and because these things make me happy, then the relationship will be happy. Yeah. You know, it's like I will let you do the things you want to, some of the things you want to do.
Yeah.
I want to do some of the things I want to do.
Yes.
But then we're both happy, but then we can support each other at the same time.
Yeah. When a relationship lacks that and you expect your other partner to be your everything and the only person that makes you happy, you're in for a sore surprise.
Yeah,
it's not sustainable.
Mm-mm. Your partner feels that too. It's like, who are you, by the way? Yeah. Are you anyone? Do you have anything to offer besides a reflection of me? I guess some people like that.
Yeah, I can see how that would work for some personalities, but definitely not healthy personalities.
No.
Yeah, so no, he's not the perfect boyfriend. Go grow a pair. Just kidding. What do you think were Ezra's best qualities as a boyfriend?
Well, that too, you know.
Like, I know. I mean, that the way it works.
Yeah.
Your best qualities are also your worst.
Yes.
How caring and considerate he is.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's true. But to a point where he loses himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it becomes bad.
Yeah, yes.
Awesome, great qualities. And then as far as Frankie goes, what do you think her best qualities were as a girlfriend?
Well, like as we said, she seemed really selfish in the beginning. Well, she does.
I know. I was like, I just don't like her at all. Oh, it's my initial
she
thought.
She comes from a very wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
And she even talks about moving to college because she wants to kind of separate herself from that, her fam, kind of that whole scene.
And she also wants to step away from her parents forcing her to be this like child prodigy
pianist.
Yeah. But, say that again. I love that word.
Pianist.
Yes. Sorry. Do it again.
I'm like penis.
It does.
Penis. Say it quick, 10 times. Penis.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We want her to be a giant penis.
Yes, for
the rest of her life. She goes to college to find one.
And she does. Oh. So she talks about not knowing how to do laundry, and her friend Amy really helps her with that. She's like, How do I do anything? I've never had to do anything for myself ever.
Right. She knows how to practice piano 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Or should I say piano? Piano. that's what her life has amounted to. And she really wants to break away from that.
Yeah.
And as a result, even though she's an extremely disciplined person mm-hmm. from years and years of that, she wants to portray herself as this like easygoing, fun-loving, person, mm-hmm. but ends up kind of being a tornado.
Yeah.
Making every situation about her.
Yes. And I think that like maybe things have always revolved around her mm-hmm. to a certain.
She has mm-hmm. an only child and mm-hmm. child prodigy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that kind of reflects in her early.
Yeah.
You know, so in this relationship
lost.
Too.
She yeah. doesn't know who she is, but mm-hmm. she's trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
In college. And she's not being her genuine true self. And she doesn't figure that out until later when they, yeah. and I think that they both figure that out as the story progresses.
Yeah.
It's a good read.
I know. I liked it too.
Yeah. So
well, should we do our questions?
Yeah. What do you think? What's going to happen? So is Ezra going to be able to propose or are they already married?
Yeah.
We're not going to answer that question, but read it and see for yourself. That twist at the end.
Yeah.
Where other people's true colors came out. I thought it was.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I thought so.
Yes. Not as great as we thought they were.
Yeah. So obviously Ezra and Frankie, like we think, I don't know that it solidifies it at the end, but that they are the love interests.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
will they last?
Was this a realistic? I think it's a realistic idea and book. I mean, I think that this could happen.
Yeah.
To people.
It's pretty realistic. The only, I will say the only thing that like continuously bothered me is like, sure, they lost their cell phones. But at that point in our history, we weren't so dependent on cell phones that they weren't capable of like picking up a landline phone mm-hmm. and using the yellow white pages and just calling the courthouse and saying, hey, are there any documents of us getting married?
Yeah. Or like just sitting down and calling your friend. I mean, like they had lots of people they could.
They didn't have their phone numbers.
Oh, that's right.
That's why they couldn't call their friends because it's built into your phone. Remember?
Yes. Okay.
But back then, I had like a Rolodex of phone numbers in my head. Like I used to be smarter.
I still feel, I mean, I can't remember when I stopped remembering phone numbers.
I can't remember.
There was a time in years previous.
Back then,
I knew numbers.
People had Rolodexes or they had those little, What are those books called?
Oh, phone,
the index where you write your
phone.
What are they? It's been too
little
long.
A phone log or something.
Yeah, that thing. It feels like there should have been a way to figure out how to get a hold of their friends or the courthouse or someone. Mm-hmm. So like that was the only part of the book that like kind of nagged at me. But otherwise, like the situation they were in and how they would have that dynamic between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Blossomed, like that felt realistic to me. Like that would have.
Yeah, I think so too.
That would have definitely happened, and it does happen.
And I feel like she captured the eras very well too.
Mm.
You know, the 80s when they're in college mm-hmm. and the 90s when they go back for the wedding.
Yeah.
Which are all now so long ago that they really do have like a
The setting was well done.
Yeah, I think so too.
It was.
And so, are they realistically ever going to get together? Will they? Yes.
Absolutely. In that circumstance.
Yeah. Not going to happen. Yeah. I think it's very likely or actually destined.
Yeah, when she drew his name out of that hat, you're like, oh, done. Yeah. They're done. This is destiny.
This is destiny.
That happens in books.
Okay, I always love to hear your answer on this one. How long will their relationship last?
You know, I have to think about this one. I haven't thought about this one yet.
Mine is 25 to life.
I know, that's your standard, always. Well,
I'm an optimist.
And I'm a skeptic. No. That time in their life, I'm going to give them 7 years.
Why? Why?
Because she refuses to leave LA. Oh. He refuses to leave New York because they have their own careers and they're very important to them. Mm-hmm. And they want to make it work long distance. Ooh. And I mean, okay, so 7 years, that might even be a stretch.
Yeah.
Because she's just her lifestyle, her career, she travels all over the world. She is dealing with like high pressure situations all the time.
Yeah.
And dealing with very immature like people all the time.
Yeah, she's a music manager
of like up and coming girl bands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he is kind of like, he could probably retire. He's worth millions, but yet he wants to stay.
Yeah,
in his career.
But maybe he can do that and live in LA. Maybe,
but he doesn't want to.
Oh.
That was part of that. I think long distance relationships,
They don't
work past 2 years.
No.
Because the hormones stop. Yeah. And then you don't have anything to hold you together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to say that he moved to LA.
I even dropped it down to 2 years. So I'm skeptical.
I'm still 25 to life. I think he figures it out. He's going to move to LA.
The hormones get the best of them and they just say, forget about it. Well, they've reestablished themselves as good friends who care about each other. They got past that hormonal stage.
Yeah.
I don't know. They made it pretty clear that they weren't going to change a whole lot about their life. But maybe in the future, as it left, I think he could.
I feel like with his job, he could. He's got money, so he can move there and maybe start doing things like just, you know, travel to New York occasionally for meetings or, you know, updating things. But he could do things from his computer in
as technology
California
progresses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm 25 to life, not changing.
Spicy. Was this spicy?
No. There's no sex in there.
They think about kissing though.
Yeah. There's sexual tension.
That's about it.
No, yeah, there's no sex.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. Green pepper. Yeah, I think that's as close as it gets the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they almost kiss here, they almost kiss there. And then they just said, oh, nope, can't do that.
Do they kiss at the end, though?
I don't remember. So that's how green pepper it was.
No, they do kiss. Remember, they're in the alleyway, and he kind of comes up, and they get really close, and then she kisses him.
Oh,
and they do kiss,
right.
And it feels so good. They're like, oh, that was so, they realize that they're very comfortable with each other. And it's like the nostalgia and the memories of like, it's just, it's good.
Yeah, but it's still not very steamy.
No, it's not.
It's green pepper.
Because they regret it afterwards.
For a minute.
I would recommend this to anybody. I think it was a cute, book.
Would you recommend it to Ben? That's...
Oh, God. Ben would... No, I would never recommend anything that wasn't...
Romance-related?
No. He's like... I'm trying to think what books he likes. He likes outdoor extreme books.
Really?
Yes, or
like Into Thin Air by John Krakauer.
Yes, like he loved that book. He loves maybe some like spy, like, I don't know.
Espionage.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Not romance at all.
So you still have to be romantically inclined to enjoy this book.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, if I was listening to it, like, if we went on a trip and I was listening to it in the car, it would be fine. He'd probably listen to it and it would be fine, but it's not. Yeah.
Do you know how many books that I've loved that I'm like, we have to listen to this. Mm-hmm. And we listen to it for the trip.
Yeah.
And then Brad's not interested in finishing it. Because, you know, they never.
Oh yeah. He's kind of half listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Ben is the same thing. I'm like, should we turn on the story? He's like, yeah, whatever. You can do whatever you want.
I'll just blog it out. Like,
but it's so good. I mean, don't you love what's happening? Blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to talk to him about it. And he's just, I don't know. He can't talk to me about it because he wasn't listening, really.
Right.
But it's not anything that he would hate.
I think there's some romance novels that, like, yeah, I don't know if I could ever find one that Brad would enjoy. I'll let you know if I do.
Mm. But what is it
definitely
like?
Definitely grandma, definitely sister, friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, I think Ben would like the, what was the book?
Keep talking, tell me.
Stung by the,
I'll fill in the
blank. Stung by the Hornet? girl that gets...
The girl with the tattoo?
Yes. How in the world?
Yes. I mean, girl, I got that from what you just
gave me. Girl with a something tattoo. Girl with a dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How did we do that?
I don't know. That's amazing.
That is amazing. How did a hornet?
I knew because of your gestures. I don't know.
Okay. Yes. Oh, that, funny. I think, because it's kind of a romance, but it's.
Oh gosh. When I didn't read the book, but I watched the movie, and it was some of the most graphic, like, I would not recommend that to a lot of people because of that. There were some pretty graphic abusive things that happened in it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Oh goodness.
But he would like that book.
I mean, there's definitely that spy component that's really, like, exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. I see that.
Well, is it a romance? Because, I mean, doesn't she and the detective kind of...
They have at least chemical romance.
Yeah.
So, definitely that. So that's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, grandma can read this for sure.
Yeah, yes.
I think it'd be fun. I just, that era was a fun, the 90s.
Yes.
I loved the 90s.
In fact, my favorite line, it's in the very beginning.
Mm.
It's from a song by Pat Benatar.
Oh gosh, I don't know. Sing it for me.
I'm not going to sing it, but I will read it to you. Because I can't sing. Well, you should have had Valerie here. She could have sung it for
you. She would sing it. And she would know all the words. It's crazy.
Yes. So it's, we're running with the shadows of the night. So baby, take my hand. It'll be all right.
That's right.
Surrender all your dreams to me tonight. They will come true in the end.
So bad.
That was my favorite line. And then, of course, I went on a Pat Benatar binge.
And then I'm trying to even think what that song sounds like.
We're running with the shadows of the night.
Gosh.
So baby, take my hand. We'll be all right.
Keep going.
Surrender all your dreams to me tonight. They'll come true in the end.
Now I get it. Oh my gosh. The 90s.
That was my favorite. Well, that was the 80s, I think. Pat Benatar.
That's probably 80s. Why I'm on the struggle bus with that song, because I just was straight up Michael Jackson and Huey Lewis in the 80s. Okay.
Now, Pat Benatar was amazing. I listened to that song, and then I listened to a million other songs.
Oh my gosh. Great. You went on a 80s right?
Of course.
And I was trying to think, like, so, because I listened to this on Audible. And there's probably so many other ways we could have listened to it.
Did she just...
Did I clip anything to say, oh, that's good?
Yeah. What do you think? Does it matter?
Oh.
Is the story engaging? Do we care about the characters? I'd say it does matter because I think it's a story about reflection.
And forgiveness.
And forgiveness.
Yeah.
And which... like forgiving yourself, forgiving somebody else.
And if you're in a relationship with someone, that's just part of it.
Yeah. Like, and being willing to even change, look at yourself and maybe changing your own behavior.
Yep. Yeah. I think that it did a good job.
Uh-huh. And it was engaging. We had to find out were they married or not. You just know, we had to keep listening.
That was just annoying to me.
And if they were, how did that happen? How did they go from hating each other to being married and ending up in bed the next day?
The whole, like, did we get married or not? I wanted to know why their friendship got destroyed. Their relationship.
And that's what kept you going.
That's what kept me going. Yeah, that's what I was interested in.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what we're all interested in, is like, how do we keep this wonderful thing and protect it?
Yeah.
That's why we have romance novels.
Yeah, so what in the heck happened?
Yes, exactly. So that was a fun read.
And do we care about the characters? I did.
Yeah.
I cared about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially more than Frankie. I wanted him to grow.
No, he was so sweet.
He was so sweet. I'm like, God, backbone. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, did you notice too, like, as they encounter different people within the story, because they're trying to get information, he had a better, people interacted with him better. Like, was it Chloe? I can't remember the girl who was in the dorm. Who makes them, she finds them later, and she's like, she finds Frankie, and she's like, I'm calling the police.
Yeah.
And she and Frankie, like, Frankie's kind of trying. She's like, what can I do? Can I give you money? Can I, like, give you my headphones, whatever? And she's like, no, I need you to apologize or something. And she's like, Frankie just can't.
She can't do it.
No. But then she sees Ezra, and there she actually starts helping Ezra. Like, she helps him get into the library and, like, kind of, like, helps him, where she was, like, completely clashing with Frankie.
Because Frankie's not willing to break down her barriers, but Ezra was.
Yeah.
He was willing to be genuine.
Mm-hmm. And I think that happens throughout.
Yes. In little ways. Yeah. So there's a lot of good character growth.
I think so, too.
Good job pointing that out. Okay. Well, I enjoyed this read.
I did too. I think it was great.
Dwarves make me love them more.
Oh. Well, so do you. Yeah. Thanks.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Well, so enjoy this read, people. And I don't know, what's the next one coming up? Should I look into that?
Yeah. And if you like our podcast, please rate us.
Review, subscribe,
review only if you love.
We have this wonderful website, and we created that mostly so you guys could either get links to our socials and interact that way. I said that I wanted to do a poll so people could also chime in on their opinions.
I would love that. Yeah.
And if I ever get more technologically savvy, I'll do that.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not there yet.
This has been a huge challenge for us, the whole thing.
We didn't grow up with a computer in our back pocket.
No, like, even just trying to get the microphone work took us like a month.
It did. We got it now. We got this.
We got it figured out.
But, yes, so I want to add that component because I would love to hear what readers and listeners,
I do,
you know,
too.
Did you
like it? Did you like the characters?
Are you a 25 to lifer?
Yeah. Well, yeah. How did you?
Right.
Are you going to side with me all the time? Or
are you the ever skeptical?
Are you the month to, like, two year girl?
Such a snob. And, you know, I'm a 25 to lifer in reality, but yeah.
Well, I think you need both of our.
Yeah.
That's what's great.
There we go.
That's true. You need both of our perspectives. Because I do love to hear why you would only think it would be 2 years.
Yeah. Well, just
because I'm like, well, how could you think that, Lisa? They're destined to be together for 25 years.
Destined to meet again and to be, not to be together forever. rate, review, subscribe, check out our website. If you have, we're in our upcoming podcast, we're going to introduce, we want to read your love stories.
Yes.
So we have a place where you can share those with us, but we also want to know, like, hey, how are things going with your relationship? Do you have a question? Well, we love to talk about it. You know, we do. We'll give you our shitty advice and you can take it or leave it.
But. Yeah, but we'll certainly chat about it for maybe an hour.
It was great.
Okay, and Valerie
say XOXO.
So say XOXO for Valerie.
That's how she always signs off in her text. That's Valerie.
Yes,
I just want to say I love you guys.
Yeah, me too.
And I want to say stay curious. That's kind of my goal for this year. Since it's New Year's.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Stay curious.
That is my bucket list. I want to learn something new every day. And that's been my bucket list for 12 years. And strive to do that.
I love that. You're going to be like a wealth of knowledge by the end of the year. Oh,
sometimes it's really stupid things.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's just learning something new every day.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good for your brain. It's kind of fun. Good for your...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that I would like to, I think I'm going to, my New Year's resolution is maybe going to be trying to even be more open to just change. Mm. I'm going to have a lot of changes in my life in the next year. So I already had a couple of changes, which are changes are hard for
even me. If they're good.
Even if they're good.
Good changes are stressful because it's unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So open to change, because the old saying, when new doors open, when some doors close, others open. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we got that.
That's my New Year's resolution. Check it on me.
When new doors close,
other doors open. Nope.
Yeah. Amen, sister.
Yeah. All right.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Resolution of your own and make it realistic. Make it fun.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye.